Thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. So a topic we could probably talk about for hours, worship in general,
and yes,
what makes worship happen, what doesn't, things like that. You had an interesting thought process that you wanted us to work through as sort of a one-off podcast idea.
Yeah. Well,
take it away.
It came up with three services.
Yes.
And the move to three services. And, you know, we call our first service our classic service. That's
right.
The word we're using now. And then second and third service are as identical as we can make them. That's usually on the preacher, not the
musicians. Oh, it's totally my
musicians.
Yeah. It's always going to be my fault.
As close as we can get, they're identical, and we call those modern. And those words really wrap around the style of music. And so, you know, it's first of all, just to even start to back up, it's so funny to me, and I don't hate it. I don't get on anyone's case about it, but it's just funny that we use the word worship when we mean music, mm-hmm. and everything we do on a Sunday service is worship, including the message, including the time we spend fellowshipping, including giving. Those are all worship things. But often we just say worship and we just mean music. Music is a part of worship. But that just kind of had me thinking, it's so interesting, especially as we move to three services, we get all these questions about, you know, why is this one traditional worship or classic? Why is this one modern? And, you know, this, I don't like this style of music, or I do like this style of music. I feel like, if I can set this up in one way, I feel like we're in, like people are in two different camps on opposite side of a spectrum, and they're moving past each other.
Yeah.
Looking for the same thing. So imagine you're hiking on a trail.
Ships in the night.
Yeah, ships in the night. Or imagine you're hiking on a trail and you pass someone going the opposite way as you, and you're like, hey, what are you looking for? And they're like, they tell you, and you're like, well, I'm actually looking for the same thing, but you're going opposite directions, and it's funny. And so where I get to this is, you know, this will take a little bit of setup here, but it's so funny. We're searching for meaning in a service. We want it to be meaningful. We want it to feel worshipful to us. Like we have this experience where we are making much of Christ and God in our lives, and we're striving to, you know, call them worthy or give them value. And it's so interesting because I'll hear people who will say things like, you know, modern music is just so repetitive. It's just the same thing. There, you don't have these deep truths in there. You don't have this great doctrine like the old hymns do, like the old music that has stood the test of time. So people are like moving away from modern music, looking for the deep meaning in the old hymns. And so they say, well, let's not do modern worship. Let's do classic worship. Then you'll talk to some other people, and they'll tell you just the opposite. They'll say, the old hymns are rote. We've been doing those over and over and over mm-hmm. again. They kind of lose their meaning when it's just repetition over and over and over again. I want something new and fresh that engages my mind, that makes me think about it. You know, even scripture says, sing a new song to the Lord. Let's use our creative abilities and not say, no, there's no more creation. God doesn't want you to create any more songs. He wants you to use only ones that are 100 years old. I've actually heard that argument before.
Yeah,
like you should only sing songs at least 100 years old. And if you always only did that, then you would never have new songs. So it'd be only 100 years old, only 200 years old. We'd be doing like Gregorian chant now if we continued that.
Yeah.
But doesn't God want us to use our creative personalities and the creativity he's given us to write new songs? So they say, leave the old stuff behind. We need meaning. Let's only do new stuff that's engaging to us, that captures my heart. And just, it's so funny to me as we have all these conversations, as we move to three services, as we replicate the modern one, but not the classic one, you know, two groups of people are both looking for meaning and engagement, and they're passing each other along the way on the trail and ending up in completely different places looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't that boggle your mind?
It would if if I weren't a surly old man at this point. There's so funny thing. There's actually a guy that goes to our church that I have bumped into on the various walking paths in Peck so early in the morning that we did not recognize each other, but we're texting each other. Hey, was that you? Yeah, that's me. That's so it's funny that you're using that illustration because I have these moments where I'm actually walking beside someone that I think I know, but I'm not sure that I know, and we're going opposite directions. So that image is really perfect for me as you kind of describe it. Here's the thing. You made a statement a little bit ago that we all come on Sunday morning looking to give God the praise and to surrender our hearts and to give him the honor that he's due. I would love to say that that's true of everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm not throwing stones here. Don't take that this way. I don't know that a lot of us check ourselves at the door and just come for him.
Sure, sure.
And so the argument that I would make then is if we just came for the Lord, none of this would matter. The discussion about music and whether we like it or not, you know, I've had really terrific mentors in my life who have not loved a song or have not loved a, you know, a worship set, have not loved a style of music, but I find them deeply worshiping in that service because it has nothing to do with their own desires or their own wants. So I think I would love to say that people are actually doing what you said they're doing. And my hope is that we are developing worshipers who are doing that. But the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, right? So back to what you're saying, and I think I would love to lean into this using a little bit of the DDP. When we talk about life as worship, I love that you said all of Sunday morning is worship. But the idea is that all of every day should be worship. Right, and right. I know you're not saying that it's not, but on a Sunday morning, you're worshiping if you're holding the door for someone to walk in because you're serving that person. You're worshiping if you take a moment and pray before you take communion or drink a coffee or grab a snack and teach your child to pray before they eat, you know, or you're worshiping if you are a few minutes late to the service because you're talking to someone who's really going through something difficult and you're giving your time and energy to like love them well in the midst of that. You're giving, you know, you're worshiping if you're studying God's word, you're worshiping if you're singing, you're worshiping if you're sitting in silence while everyone right. else is singing, trying to just connect with your God. I think so many of us don't think about ourselves as worshipers. We think of ourselves as churchgoers. And if we would just stop that idea that you're a churchgoer and just push that aside and go, no, today I'm a worshiper, then it wouldn't matter what we do in our services.
Yeah.
At all. So I would love to say that that's the case, but I've not met a church yet that deals with things that way.
Yeah, and I think this is why we talk about here, like the DDP is the destination.
Right.
That's where we want you to end. And then we have some different things that we call the vehicles. This is the way we get you there.
Right.
Because this is, you know, this is the tension of church leadership that, you know, if you're not in church leadership or haven't heard this before, you know, this might be interesting to you. Maybe not. Maybe you're like, I don't care about how they make these decisions.
But it's our podcast, yeah. So we're going to do
it. Yeah, so we're going to do it anyway. Yeah, like there are people who are like that. It doesn't matter what's going on. Like I had a pastor friend of mine who was at a church that I was at in Chicago, and he told me he was older and we did modern music, and he's like, I hate the music. Mm. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, I absolutely hate all of this music. It's terrible. It hurts my ears. And I was like, oh, do you ever say something? He's like, no. Like I would never say anything because it helps young people engage with the church. It's right. It's their music. He's like, who cares what I want? I don't need the music to be about me. And I was like, man, his name is Dave, Pastor Dave. I'm like, I want to have that attitude when I'm Pastor right. Dave's age, where he's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, I can worship anywhere. And if I'm not able to worship in the service, I go worship at home. Like I'll go worship on my own time. Like I'll find time to sing praises mm-hmm. to the Lord. That was kind of his attitude. And so that's kind of like what we wrestle with is we have people who are disciples and we want them to feel like they can find meaningful growth in worship here. But also we have people who are very new in their discipleship journey.
Totally.
And to them, you know, we have to make decisions like how do we help them feel comfortable? How do we help them feel like this is a place where they can be without being singled out or things like that.
Right.
Now, that pendulum can swing so far where we become, you know, what's been sometimes termed the seeker-sensitive church, right? And that creates consumer culture, that the church is about you're a customer, so how can we please you? And we don't want to go that far. You know, I had this discussion one time about, like, what level the heat should be in the worship center. And we just spent so much time on this, and I kind of got frustrated, and I was like, you know, if people were just great disciples, they wouldn't care if there was no heat. You know, there are people around the world in other countries specifically that I can think of that, like, they don't get to put on their Sunday best and drive to church and hang out with all their friends. They sneak out in the middle of the night and go in the basement and open up the floorboards where they have a Bible, one Bible concealed, and they get it out and read it over candlelight. Like, are they complaining about the worship? Are they complaining about the heat? Are they complaining about, you know, the chair wasn't comfortable? No.
Yes, because that's our human. No, but you know what I'm saying? Just imagine if that really was what they were complaining about. And you're going, see, it's just, but that's a sign of sin, not,
But just all to say, like, you know, that person who's doing that is a, you know, their level of discipleship, they are nearer to that destination than people are that we interact with. So there's this tension of, like, yeah, the church is for believers. We want to be set up that believers are worshiping, but also we understand that there are very new believers or even unbelievers in our midst who are just checking things out. And, like, how do we handle that tension? And so when we make decisions like, what are we going to do for three services? These are some of the pulls and tugs that we, you know, have to walk a line between.
So let's get really practical for a moment. I love that. So let me just give you some answers, listener. And maybe this is a podcast that'll get shared and people, you know, will talk about it. I'm all for that. Practically speaking, first off, we use the gifts and the skill set of the people we have access to. Back to what you said. Yep. You said we want people to be able to use their creative energy and their creative capacity to serve. We hired Bo, and we hired Bo because we liked the sound that he was creating specifically for our second service, and we also saw Bo's flexibility to help lead our first service back when it was just two services. Mm-hmm. As Bo and the family came to town and started doing their thing here, we're going to use their creative abilities as best we possibly can. But with that said, Bo is also tasked to use other people's creative abilities. And so we have other people who lead our modern teams who are more than capable and are getting better and better and better just as they grow and as they develop as an artist. In the same way, our classic service has individuals who are going to bring something different to the table than somebody else. So some might have a mindset that's a little more bluegrass, a little more country, and you might have somebody that's a little more piano-driven, you know? Mm-hmm. So those people's creative abilities is what drives the service. We also have people who used to lead who have now retired or have passed away. So all we have access to is the people that God has given us right now. So if you came in on a Sunday morning and you thought, I didn't really like the music today, that's really between you and the worship leader. Mm-hmm. But that's unfortunate because if you spent your entire life building a piece of art and you loved it and you thought it was so great and you showed it to everyone and they're like, that's terrible, I hate it, that would break you.
Yeah.
And so I love it when an artist is willing to step out and say, I am being led to lead in this way. This is worshipful for me and I want you to join me in worship. That's really what worship leaders are doing, right? They're leading worship in such a way that they're saying, I want you to come join me in worshiping the King. That's what we're looking for. So first off, really practically, we're using the talent we have access to. And if you don't like some aspect of that, that's, I don't know what to tell you. We don't have access to what you want us to. You know, if you came to me and said, I went to Branson and I love Dino Karsanakis and I think he's the greatest piano leader of all time and why don't we do something more like him? Oh, well, Peter McClanathan is great. But he's not Dino. And so we don't have a Dino and we're not going to utilize a Dino because we don't have those skills here. So that's point one. Point two, some asked me, why don't we go to a blended service between the two? So we have a classic service, we have a modern service. Why don't we do a little bit of blended, which means a little bit of classic, a little bit of modern? The answer that I gave multiple people, and I'm going to put this on the podcast so you can hear it, a blended service usually makes everyone angry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make anyone happy. It makes everyone angry. Yep. And on top of that, if we have a service that is expanding to the point where it's bursting out of the seams, why wouldn't we duplicate the service that is busting out of the seams?
Yeah.
So just practically speaking as a pastor, if we created a blended service, the people who are wanting a modern service aren't going to come to it because it doesn't meet what they're looking for. And if it's blended, also the classic people are going to be really upset because it doesn't match what they're doing. So they're just going to keep going to what we would call first and third service. And then the second service would have almost nobody in it.
Yeah.
But if what we call the modern service is the one that's expanding and growing, that's the one we're going to duplicate so we have room for growth.
Yeah.
So just practically speaking, that's what goes into our mindset. And at the end of the day, I'm walking on a Sunday morning, having already worshiped that morning, having spent most of the week worshiping the Lord. Like my drive in on Sunday mornings is actually listening to praise music, running through my sermon again, praying for the church, praying for people by name that I'm thinking of. So I'm worshiped up, so to speak. It doesn't matter what the music is that morning.
I can't do that on my drive-in.
Your drive-in is really short. There's a blessing to being 20 minutes away, I just tell you. But that is my practice on Sunday mornings. And then when I get to the church, I'm ready to just give God everything I've got. And so my act of worship at that point is greeting and talking to as many people as I can, answering questions, solving people's problems if needed, you know, serving you guys, trying to keep everybody excited and engaged and, you know, talking people off a ledge if I need to, you know, just kind of reminding people like, you're not really here for you today. You're here for everyone else. You know, occasionally one of us, I've seen you do this a couple of times, bounce over to a couple of people and kind of break them up so that they remember that they're not supposed to be just talking to each other. Like, you are one of the leaders of the church. I love that you are talking to each other. Go talk to people that aren't leaders in the church. But by the time that, from 8 a.m. to noon, by the time that time is over, I have worshiped every other way besides singing. And it's not that I don't love singing, but I don't even feel like, I told you on Sunday, I realized I can't actually sing every service because I'm going to lose my voice.
Yeah.
I can't preach and sing.
We're standing up there right before third service and Chris leans over and goes, I can't actually sing because I'm not going to have a voice.
Like, yeah, oh, nice. I knew I was losing my voice. And I'm like, if I go one more service going the whole hour, this is not going to be good. So all that to say, I know that you don't think that way when you walk in, but I love the fact that your staff and your pastors do think that way. Come follow us in that.
Yeah.
So practically speaking, we're doing the best we can, but what we're actually asking you to do is to live your life out as worship and just show up and be a part of what God's doing. And hopefully you'll see him in what we're accomplishing, and then you'll also join him in that and bring whatever creative energy he's given you to bring to the service and make it better.
Yeah. So as much as this feels like an apologetic for the decisions we've made, we're not just trying to convince you. Well, maybe we are trying to convince you a little bit, like this is meaningful to us. But just to give you some background and to just invite you, I think that's where we're going with this. And
right.
Chris, invite you, join us in this. You know, we're have so many things to think about, so many different people that we want to engage. Our hope is that, you know, as we move toward that DDP, that your whole life would be worship and you come in and Sunday morning is a great aspect of that, but every part of you is worship.